Abby Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is the single largest deployment of immigration officers in one place at one time, in a state that is not even in the top of immigration. What justifies the disproportionate flood? Nothing legitimate, but the president has been clear. Retribution.
The state of Minnesota challenges the federal government in court over their historic deployment of federal immigration agents in the state. We'll speak with Attorney General Keith Ellison. And as the federal government refuses to collaborate with local officials on the investigations into the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preti, we'll talk to law professor Stephen Vladeck on the question of accountability.
One of the things that the Minnesota shooting reveals is how hard it is to hold federal officers accountable under federal law. The question that we should be talking about is what are the options under state law, both for civil suits and, if necessary, criminal prosecutions.
Then, copaganda, how police and the media manipulate our news. We'll speak with author Alex Karakatsanis on the challenges of law enforcement reform from policing to border patrol. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Trump administration's removing Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino from Minnesota after border agents beat and fatally shot Alex Preti, a 37-year-old VA ICU nurse, on Saturday morning. Bovino had claimed Preti intended to massacre law enforcement, but eyewitness video directly contradicts him. Preti was attacked by agents as he attempted to help a woman who'd been violently shoved by patrol officers. Greg Bovino has led Trump's paramilitary-style immigration crackdown in Minneapolis, Chicago, and other cities. The Atlantic magazine reports Bovino will report to return to his previous job as chief patrol agent in El Centro, California, and that he may soon retire. On Monday night, protesters gathered outside a Minnesota hotel where Bovino was believed to be staying.
Getting fired is not justice. It's not enough. Their man needs to be brought to trial for what he's wrought on Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota.
The shooting of Alex Preti has sparked bipartisan outrage across the United States and has forced the White House to reassess its operations in Minnesota. On Monday, the White House announced Border Czar Tom Homan will head to Minnesota. Homan is a longtime immigration hardliner who is an architect of Trump's first-term family separation policy. In September, House Democrats began investigating Homan amidst revelations he was recorded last year accepting a Kava bag containing $50,000 in cash from a pair of undercover FBI agents posing as business executives. On Monday, President Trump held calls with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. Trump said he and Walz, quote, seemed to be on a similar wavelength, unquote. Walz talked to Minnesota Public Radio after the phone call.
First of all, I ask that we have a fair and independent investigation into the murder of both Renee Good and Alex, that we have to be able to do that. And he said, We'll look at that. We'll take a look at that. And I said, we just have to reduce these numbers. We started out with that. And he pledged that, look, I'm going to send Tom Homan in. We'll do things differently.
On Monday, Trump also held a two-hour meeting at the White House with Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, who had called Alex Preti a domestic terrorist shortly after he was fatally shot. 140 Democratic lawmakers are calling for Noem to be impeached. In legal news, the Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit has sided with the Trump administration and blocked a lower court order that would have prevented officers from arresting, detaining, pepper spraying, or retaliating against protesters in Minneapolis without probable cause. In a separate legal case, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison was in court Monday morning seeking to halt the immigration crackdown known as Operation Metro Surge. The judge did not issue a decision Monday. We'll speak to the attorney general after headlines. This all comes as protests continue in Minnesota over the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Students at the University of Minnesota walked out of classes Monday.
I'm really angry. I'm angry and I'm sad, like, all of the time. I'm a university student. I can't focus on my classes. I have a lot of friends who are really scared to go outside right now, you know, regardless of their citizenship status. Like, people are really afraid, and they have right to be, you know. Just on our campus, we have ICE agents staying just a few streets away here. In Cedar Riverside and the neighborhood nearing ours, they've faced so much brutality and violence the past couple of weeks.
In other news from Minnesota, Republican gubernatorial candidate Chris Maddow has dropped out of the race, citing President Trump's immigration crackdown. Maddow's a Minneapolis lawyer who recently represented Jonathan Ross, the ICE agent who fatally shot Renee Good. He released this video Monday.
Number one, I cannot support the National Republican stated retribution on the citizens of our state, nor can I count myself a member of a party that would do so.
In news from Washington, D.C., the likelihood of a partial government shutdown at the end of the week is growing. Senate Democrats are refusing to back a sweeping funding bill if it includes money for the Department of Homeland Security and ICE. In Dilley, Texas, dozens of detained immigrant families held a protest Saturday inside ICE's South Texas Family Residential Center demanding the release of detained children. Protesters held signs reading Libertad para los Niños, or Liberty for the Kids. Prisoners in Dilley include 5-year-old Liam Ramos, who was detained with his father in Minnesota after the boy came from preschool last week. He was wearing bunny ears. The images of Liam went viral after he was picked up while still wearing his Spider-Man backpack. Also being held at Dilley is a 7-year-old named Diana Crespo. She and her parents were detained in the parking lot of a hospital in Portland, Oregon, 2 weeks ago. Her parents were trying to get help for the second grader who had a long-lasting nosebleed, but they never made it inside the hospital. The Oregon Nurses Association condemned what happened, saying, quote, no parent should ever be forced to weigh their child's health against the risk of detention, unquote. In related news, federal immigration agents detained a 2-year-old girl and her father, Elvis Tapan Echeverria, in Minneapolis Thursday and transported them to Texas without a warrant, according to court filings. The toddler was taken to Texas despite a court order requiring her immediate release. By Friday, immigration officials allowed the child and her father to return to Minnesota. The child is currently in the custody of her mom, while her father remains detained in Minnesota. Israel's military says it's recovered the remains of the last hostage held in Gaza, fulfilling a key condition in the first phase of a U.S.-brokered ceasefire. The remains of police officer Ron Gvili were held in Gaza for 840 days and will now be prepared for burial. The return of his remains was a key condition for a limited reopening of the Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt. A U.S.-backed Palestinian committee has said the crossing will open this week, though Israeli officials have not confirmed a timeline. It comes as a U.S. official tells Al Jazeera that disarmament by Hamas will be accompanied by, quote, some sort of amnesty, unquote, for the Palestinian group. Meanwhile, Gazans are still facing continued Israeli airstrikes.
The situation is dire. As you can see, one runs from dawn prayer to get water. Sometimes it's salty, sometimes fresh, and so on. And the fighting hasn't ended yet. All night they were fighting and blasts, and we don't know when this will end. They have taken their last Israeli remains back. So when will they open the crossings? Why don't they let in caravans? Find any solution. Let in supplies. But we're just left stranded in the street.
The United Nations warns more than 37,000 Palestinians were forcibly displaced in the occupied West Bank in 2025 due to record levels of settler violence. It comes as Haaretz reports U.S. authorities chartered a private jet belonging to an Israeli-American businessman to deport eight Palestinians residing in the U.S. to Israel. They were then handed over to Israeli officials and transferred to the occupied West Bank. Sources told Haaretz that the deportations came at the special request of the U.S. to Israeli officials. The U.S.-based human rights activist news agency estimates at least 5,777 protesters, including 86 minors, were killed by Iranian security forces in recent anti-government protests. The group also claims 49 civilians who weren't demonstrating were killed in Iran's crackdown on the protests and that nearly 42,000 people have been arrested. Meanwhile, a UN expert on Iran said she's receiving reports of Iranian security forces detaining protesters at hospitals.
And I think this creates a really chilling effect. I mean, medical facilities need to be a safe place for everyone.
This comes as the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group arrived in the Middle East. President Trump referred to the warships as an armada after the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps warned his forces had their, quote, finger on the trigger, unquote. Judges at the International Criminal Court have ruled that Rodrigo Duterte, the former president of the Philippines, is fit to stand trial. He's currently held in The Hague over murders committed during his so-called war on drugs. According to ICC prosecutors, Duterte created, funded, and armed death squads that killed as many as 30,000 people in anti-drug operations. South Sudan's military is ordering all civilians and United Nations personnel to evacuate Jonglei State ahead of operations against rebel groups. A senior military leader in South Sudan urges troops to, quote, spare no one, including children, the elderly, and civilians, unquote. In response, the head of the UN's mission in South Sudan said, quote, inflammatory rhetoric calling for violence against civilians is utterly abhorrent and must stop now, unquote. The UN estimates more than 180,000 people have been forced to flee their homes due to escalating fighting. This is Edmund Yakani, a South Sudanese civil society leader.
And we have seen a huge population being displaced, specifically the triangle of Akobo, Nyirol, Worol. That's one of the populated area that in Jonglei State, and now the war is active in that area. So there's a huge humanitarian situation there, and unfortunately there's no humanitarian actors that are responding to the situation, because this conflict has happened at the moment where the world is cutting down humanitarian assistance to the humanitarian organization. So the humanitarian situation in Jonglei is dire.
And over 30,000 Kaiser Permanente nurses and healthcare workers across California and Hawaii went on strike Monday, demanding higher wages and better staffing. The union seeking 25% raises over 4 years and says Kaiser Permanente halted contract negotiations in December. Meanwhile, here in New York City, nearly 16,000 nurses have entered their third week on strike, but some progress has been made. Over the weekend, the New York State Nurses Association says two hospitals, Mount Sinai and New York Presbyterian, agreed to maintain current health benefits for nurses. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
As protests continue in response to the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preti by federal immigration agents in Minneapolis, a federal judge in Minnesota heard arguments Monday in a lawsuit filed by state officials alongside the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul to halt Trump's unprecedented deployment of thousands of federal immigration agents to the state. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, who was in court yesterday, has likened the deployment of ICE agents to a federal invasion. U.S. District Judge Kate Menendez questioned the Trump administration on whether its militarization of Minnesota is intended to, quote, punish plaintiffs for adopting sanctuary laws and policies, unquote. Attorney General Ellison spoke after the hours-long court hearing.
This is the single largest deployment of immigration officers in one place at one time. In a state
that is not even in the top of immigration? What justifies this disproportionate flood? Nothing legitimate, but the president is being clear. Retribution.
In a separate hearing later in the day, a Trump administration lawyer assured a Minneapolis federal judge that body camera footage of Alex Preti's fatal shooting was being preserved by federal investigators. The lawyer did not specify whether the body cam footage would be shared with Minnesota authorities and did not confirm how many agents were wearing cameras at the time of the shooting. Minnesota state officials are urging the court to extend an emergency order prohibiting the Trump administration from destroying or altering evidence after Border Patrol agents shot Preti dead. The federal government has blocked local investigators from reviewing the evidence, just like it did after the fatal shooting of Renee Good. For more, we go to Minneapolis, where we're joined by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Attorney General. If you could start off by talking about...
Glad to be with you, Amy. How are you?
It's great to have you with us. Can you talk about what happened in court yesterday and respond to... We had you on just on Friday. Now... another killing of a Minnesotan. Can you respond to that killing and what you demanded in court on Monday morning?
Well, first of all, Alex Preti was an amazing man. He was an ICU nurse at the Veterans Administration Hospital. He devoted his life to caring for people who were people who defended America. And yet he was shot down in the streets of Minneapolis. Also, trying to defend a woman who was thrown to the ground by ICE agents. So I took it very personally when the Secretary of Homeland Security defamed him, as did Bovino and others. And so let me just say that. I'll also note that in Monday, our court hearing in the morning, our 9 a.m. court hearing, was really about saying that as Minnesota has the right to devote Minnesota resources to Minnesota activities, and we are not obligated to operate as extensions of ICE, then the federal government and ICE cannot then say, well, if you won't do what we want you to do, we're going to inundate your state with 4,000 agents. We're going to raise all kind of problems and abuse people and do shootings, unauthorized entries into homes, massive abuses. And so essentially what we're saying is the federal government cannot coerce us into doing it their way. Federalism and the structure of of this country, the balance between state and federal power, cannot be maintained as is constitutionally required under the 10th Amendment if the federal government can try to bully a state out of what it could never get in a courtroom because they don't have the right. So that's what the argument was all about. The judge was very thoughtful, very smart, asked the right questions, and I'm confident that we'll get a good outcome. And if we don't, then we're going to continue to fight on.
And Attorney General Ellison, I wanted to ask you about the decision of the authorities there, the federal authorities, to transfer out of state the agents involved in that shooting. The responsibility of local authorities in Minneapolis to investigate this shooting and how the transfer of these agents out of state affects that.
Feels like a cover-up to me. I mean, here's the thing. And when we talk about the transfer of agents, let's put Bovino in that category as well. You know, one thing's certainly true. The state government has the right to criminally charge anyone, including a federal agent, who commits a crime in our state. That is not even in serious question. I know the vice president said otherwise. He's wrong, and he should correct the record because he's clearly wrong. But what the federal authorities seem to be doing in the three cases of shootings here in Minnesota is to say, yeah, we got to know that you have the right to prosecute us. So what we're going to do is frustrate your capability of prosecuting us by grabbing evidence, by by dispiriting people away out of the state, by allowing our agents to wear masks so they're never accountable. This is the sort of tactic that they're using. I think that they're implicitly acknowledging our right to prosecute crimes, but they're saying, well, yeah, if you can, because we're going to mess with the evidence and everything else. That appears to be what's going on. When it comes to Bovino, I think that the federal government is spectacularly hypocritical. They brought him here because he had a reputation for brutality and harsh tactics. They brought Bovino here because he was known to be mean and violent and hateful and would make his members act that way. Now that the people of Minnesota have protested and raised the roof on his brutal tactics, now they move him out of the way and say, oh, he's gone now. Well, you know, I guess I'll say, you know, good riddance to Bovino, but the federal government doesn't get any kudos for moving him.
I also wanted to ask you about this letter that Attorney General Pam, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi sent to your governor, Tim Walz, over the weekend, demanding three policy changes in exchange for a rollback of the aggressive tactics. One of those was demanding the Minnesota voter rolls. Your reaction to that, and why even raise that?
Well, it kind of tells the story. I think you know one thing's for sure. She kind of said the quiet part out loud. This is clearly coercion. They're using armed paramilitaries in mass to get what they could never get in a courtroom. We're contesting all these things that were in her letter, including the voting roll issue, in court. We're in court on these things. We're saying, no, you don't have a right to those things. We will battle this in court. We're suing them. We are fighting them now in court. But the federal government is saying, oh, yeah? Well, what do you say to 4,000 men heavily armed aiming guns at your people wearing masks? What do you say to that? This is the fundamental essence of coercion. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of case law, one where, you know, if Congress were to pass a law encroaching on state authority, or if there was an executive order encroaching on a state authority, courts would clearly say, oh, you can't do that. But what about a gun in your face? How could that possibly be okay if a congressional statute or an executive court order could not intrude upon state prerogatives? I mean, this is the very essence of coercive behavior, a gun in the face, killing your citizens, shooting them, abusing them, beating them down, causing 50,000 Minnesotans and friends in the 9-degree below weather to protest to say, ICE out now. I mean, this is an outrageous situation. That's why I'm confident we're going to win in court.
And to get your response, Attorney General Ellison, to Tom Holman now being brought in, recorded in 2024, accepting a bag, a Kava bag, that's the store, with $50,000 in cash from a pair of undercover agents who are posing as business executives. In exchange for the money, Holman reportedly offered to help them secure future government contracts. A bribery probe was opened, but Trump's Department of Justice just shut down that probe. I mean, I don't know what the legal theory is here. I mean, the federal government said they were investigating Minnesota residents for fraud. So they bring in someone who is, to say the least, under a cloud of fraud allegations, is the idea. It takes one to know one. But your response to not only that, but that Holman is known as one of the architects of family separation.
Well, it's absurd, Amy, is what I think you're pointing out. Well, let me just tell you. Let me tell you who is under investigation. The governor, myself, the mayor. That's who the federal... Here's who's not under investigation. Tom Holman and Jonathan Ross and the agents who shot down and killed Alex Pretty. They're not under investigation from any evidence I can see. Let me just say this about Holman. We don't need to change the field marshal on this ICE invasion. We need to change the entire policy. We need to go back to the days before Operation Metro Surge. Go back to those days when that Minnesota was not under siege the way it is now. Let me just tell you, ordinarily, there's about 80 ICE agents here is what I'm told. There's about 4,000 now. That's a 4,900% increase in a few weeks. The largest in the history of America. The largest deployment to what end? And so if you don't change that, what does it matter if you switch out Holman with his very dubious credentials, given his bad behavior? I mean, what difference does it make? This has got to change. The policy must change. They have to stop Operation Metro Surge, and they got to stop it now. And I'll tell you this. I believe just like Portland and Oregon and Los Angeles and Chicago were all precursors to what's happening in Minnesota, I think Minnesota is a precursor to what they plan to have happen many other places, including Maine. The state of Maine now is sort of in the bullseye. And is Maine known for dramatic increases in immigration? No. It's because the governor insists upon being the governor of Maine. And the president insists upon being the governor of Maine. So they're at odds because the governor says, you know, we treat our trans community like human beings here in Maine. And the president says, oh, no, you don't. And for your sass, I'm going to send the ICE agents after you. That's what's going on. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. And we all as Americans have to stand together against it. And we need Congress to stand up against any increases in the ICE budget.
Attorney General, I'm wondering whether you've had a chance to talk to Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis or the governor since their phone conversations yesterday with President Trump, and your sense of what they may be thinking now as the White House seeks to distance itself somewhat from the statements of Kristi Noem and of Bovino.
Yeah, we've been in communication. I haven't had a chance to talk directly to the mayor, but I've been in communication with their offices, and we expect to talk today. Look, if they're saying that they're talking about leaving, that is certainly good news. If they're open, if they're gonna agree to a joint investigation to get to the truth of these two killings, and then there was a third killing of a shooting of a Venezuelan man who didn't die. We need to investigate all of them and many other crimes as well, then I think that's fine. I think that's a good thing. But I need to, I'm at the point where I need to see it to believe it. I need to see reductions in this massive paramilitary force, and that's what I need to see. Promises, right? We'll see.
Attorney General, who has Alex Pretty's phone? Who has the video footage from the agents, if there is video footage? You're well known around the country because you took the case of the murder of George Floyd when Hennepin County wouldn't prosecute, and you ultimately had the police officers convicted. But right now, the Trump administration is trying to stop Minnesota from also investigating. So who has his phone? Where does this all stand? Have you had access to the crime site?
Well, yes. Minnesota investigators have had access to the crime site. I believe that immigration agents have that phone and all the other materials, which is why we brought a motion Saturday night to stop them from altering, tampering, or destroying evidence and to preserve that evidence. That's why we brought that motion for a TRO last Saturday and why we were in court yesterday. So that's what that's all about. It is my hope that the court does not believe the story of ICE. They changed that story based on what's convenient for them in the moment. I believe that if the court does not issue that order, that when we get to the point where we can charge this case, which I hope is very soon, that they're going to start saying, video? What video? I simply don't believe them. And if you were to I think you might, what you might want to do, and forgive me for offering suggestions on air like this, but you might want to get a police practices person.